And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. I hope every single one of you had a very Merry Christmas, a wonderful time. I've been off for an entire week and spending time with my wife and family and relaxing and going to church and just doing things, frankly, that I don't often have an opportunity to do because my schedule is a little bit busy. So this has been some great time for me. And, of course, we're going to be with you the entire week live except for New Year's Day. So please stay tuned. There's a lot to discuss about the end of the year, the end of 2019, and the beginning of 2020, the year of clear vision, I guess you'd have to call it, right? 2020. It's going to be a very interesting year, and I trust that the American people will see things very, very clearly in 2020 in a way that they haven't seen it in the past, or at least in the recent past, I should say. Now, by the way, folks, let me just tell you up front, we're having some technical difficulties with our call-in system, and so we won't be taking calls today, but I want you to make a note of anything you want to talk about, because tomorrow I intend to spend most of the program on taking your calls and having you reflect on any issue that jumps out at you for this year, because tomorrow will be the last program of 2019. And I really want to hear what you all think about how 2019 went and what jumps out at you most in terms of the developments of 2019 and the events and occurrences and incidents and experiences of 2019. So I'll try to make up for it tomorrow, assuming we're all set to go tomorrow. I'll try to make up for it tomorrow what we can't do today. And I've got some topics that are hot, hot, hot. I know you're going to want to talk about them. So today you'll have to be satisfied with hearing me vent and expound on them without your ability to do so. But you can talk back to the radio. You can talk back to your smartphone or however you're listening. You can still get your comments in. The Lord will hear you even if I don't. So look, folks. The first thing I want to get to is what happened in White Settlement, Texas. I also want to mention this Jewish synagogue It's, of course, just Jewish synagogue. That's redundant. But the synagogue in New York that was attacked by a knife-wielding nutcase. But I want to focus first on this shooting that happened in White Settlement, Texas, not far from Fort Worth, by the way. It's a suburb of Fort Worth, Texas, in which a gunman goes in, about 275 people in the congregation, and this gunman goes in probably planning to kill everybody he can, and he ran into a problem. And the problem he ran into was that there were people in the congregation who were armed, locked, and loaded, and they were able to return fire, and of course he was killed there in the church. Now, he was able to kill two people. The gunman died, but he was able to kill two people. And folks, that's with an immediate response right there in the church, because he sat in the back and stood up in the back and started killing people, started shooting. And by the time folks in the church who were armed were able to respond, he had already killed two people. Imagine what it would have been like if they had had to wait for the police to get there. Imagine. And folks, here we are in a society in which the left, now represented by the radical Marxist, socialist, communist, Democrat Party. Imagine what it would be like if they got their way and they disarmed the American people, because the criminals are not giving up their arms. It would mean that in situations like that, this man would have been able to just basically have a field day, just duck hunting season. He could have just gone around and just killed everybody he could kill who could not get out in time. And instead, he ended up dead himself at the hand of some righteous warriors who got up, stood up, and fired back. And you've got people who want to disarm us. Joe Biden is one of those people. There's no way in the world, folks, no way in the world this country those of us who believe in the Constitution and believe in the First and Second Amendment, no way in the world that we could have somebody like him as president. I want you to listen to his interaction with a young lady at a town hall meeting who asked him a question, and you see if you can make sense out of his answer. Here it is.
Yeah, Brianna with a question about gun control.
Hello. So with the tragedy that just happened in Texas, my question is, how do you justify the Democratic view on gun control when the shooter was stopped by a man who was legally licensed to carry a gun?
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are, I wrote the last serious gun control law that was written. It was law for 10 years, and it outlawed assault weapons, and it outlawed weapons with magazines that had a whole lot of bullets, and so you can kill a whole lot of people a lot more quickly, number one. Number two, it's just rational to say certain people shouldn't have guns. Now, the fact that some people with guns are legally able to acquire a gun and they turn out to be crazy after the fact, that's life. There's nothing you can do about that. But we can save a lot of lives, and we've stopped tens of thousands of people from getting guns who shouldn't have guns.
What in the world is he talking about? See, folks, forget about ideology for a moment. Joe Biden is about as dumb as a brick. I'm serious. That answer was so incoherent that I feel sorry for the man. He doesn't need to be sent to the White House. He needs to be sent to someplace to get examined. I mean, first of all, the gun the man had, he shouldn't have been carrying. You mean the gun that saved countless lives? The gun that allowed him to take down an evil man intent on mass murder, that gun he should not have been allowed to have. And notice something. He didn't ask the question what kind of gun the murderer had. I mean, that's not even relevant. It doesn't matter, right? Because if the murderer has got a Beretta 92 that holds 18 rounds, or the murderer has got a Glock 19 that holds 15 rounds, or the Beretta, I keep saying the Beretta, the murderer has got an Uzi that holds who knows how many rounds. That doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the law-abiding citizen should not have a gun that holds so many rounds, because after he's gotten the gun legally, he might turn crazy. Folks... And by the way, an assault weapon, you know, it's defined a gun that has a lot of bullets. A gun that has a lot of bullets. Now, boy, talk about precision. Talk about clarity. Oh, that makes so much sense. An assault weapon is a gun that's got a lot of bullets. Well, how many bullets is a lot of bullets? I mean, folks. If people like this get to govern this nation, we are headed for a crisis the likes of which we have not faced in 150 years. I'm serious. Because it's completely irrational. He never even bothers to acknowledge it was great that somebody was there to defend against this murderer who intended to kill all these people. You know, he didn't even acknowledge the safety of the people in the church. And they want us to vote for people like that? Not on your life, and certainly not on ours. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
As this year winds down, many Americans focus on year-end giving. There is abundant evidence that charitable giving has been affected by our newly revised tax code that rewards fewer taxpayers with tax benefits. Howard Husek wrote about this earlier this month when many Americans took advantage of Giving Tuesday. His observations then are even more relevant at the end of December. Indiana University's School of Philanthropy have been able to document two significant trends. While overall giving has slightly climbed, individual giving has declined. Actually, when you adjust for inflation, then giving by individuals declined even more. The major reason is the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which raised the standard deduction for federal income tax returns for a larger percentage of taxpayers. In the past, many of these taxpayers would itemize their charitable deductions. Now they no longer qualify for a charitable tax deduction. The Tax Policy Center acknowledges that most low and moderate income taxpayers do not claim a deduction for charitable contributions, largely because most of them do not itemize. The 90% of households that do not itemize make at least 40% of all charitable contributions. The remaining 10% that do itemize account for 60% of charitable contributions. I suspect that a significant percentage of those who don't itemize but do make charitable contributions are Christians who do so because they believe they should give to their church and Christian organizations. Some have suggested a future tax code revision providing for charitable giving tax credit or some other incentive. Of course, these proposals won't even be considered if we continue to elect to Congress representatives that try to find more and more ways to spend and continue to run up massive federal deficits. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Have you ever hung a candy cane on your Christmas tree? Have you ever wondered where its colors came from and what it symbolizes? The white symbolizes the virgin birth and sinless life of Jesus. The hardness of the candy symbolizes Jesus as the solid rock. The shape, the letter J, symbolizes the name of Jesus. Its shape as a shepherd's staff reminds us that Jesus is the great shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. The red stripes symbolize the cost of our salvation. The narrow red stripes remind us of his scourging, and the wide red stripes of the crown of thorns and nail wounds from which he shed his blood for you and me.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Brian Fisher here. Somebody packing heat to church saved a whole lot of lives. We'll listen to what Joe Biden thinks about that. The Talking Snake media has a surefire way to identify Trump voters. We'll revisit some of the high points of media idiocy from the last decade. And the CNN anchor makes an astonishing admission about the Trump presidency. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. And folks, I want to remind you that you can listen to the program on our podcast. It's usually up about 2 hours after the program is over. Go to our website, afr.net. And right there on the home page, you'll see podcast. Click on The Awakening, and you can listen to the program. You can send that link to a friend, a family member, anybody you want to have an opportunity to hear the program. Share the joy and share the information of being a part of the American Family Radio Network and particularly a part of this program, The Awakening, with yours truly. Now, look, you know, history... I love history, and you know why I love history? Not because it's always inspiring or that human beings are always commendatory in what they do, but it's always instructive. It's always instructive, either teaching us what we shouldn't do, the mistakes we shouldn't make, or teaching us what we should do. And sadly, folks, we have got a whole population at this point that is historically illiterate because they've either been dumbed down with a bunch of leftist indoctrination or they've been given no information at all. And so they are more susceptible to the lies and the propaganda coming out of the left. Now, here's something that a lot of people don't know. 101 years ago, in a place called Russia, the Bolsheviks took a giant step toward the subjugation of the Russian people by declaring that all Russians should surrender their firearms. All Russians should surrender their firearms. The only people who would be allowed to have firearms would be those that the Communist Party designates, those who are part of the secret police, those who are part of the designated elite, but quote-unquote the masses. You know, that's the way communists like to think about the population, not as individuals, but as the masses. The masses were to be disarmed. And if you failed to surrender your weapon and were found to have a weapon by maybe a surprise visit from the secret police or somebody in the little communist enclave that they established all over Russia dimed you out, 10 years of hard labor. Now, here we have in America and in Virginia, particularly Virginia, we've got Ralph Vladimir Lenin Northam sitting on his little communist throne, ready to convene the legislature when the legislature convenes on the 20th, and a bunch of his minions, his little leftist propagandistic minions, who plan to try something similar. Because I believe it's 85 out of the 98 counties in Virginia, 85 out of the 98 cities and municipalities, counties, cities and municipalities in Virginia have declared themselves sanctuary counties, sanctuary areas for the Second Amendment, and said they will not enforce any law passed by the Virginia legislature that seeks to infringe upon the Second Amendment rights of our citizens. Ralph Northam has backed off and said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to pass legislation that requires registration. Because what he was going to do is he was going to outlaw any gun that you have that they deem an assault weapon, which is, again, folks, don't get me started on that one. One of the dumbest, one of the most meaningless, one of the most vacuous descriptions I've ever heard, which is simply meant to emotionally manipulate people, is the term assault weapon. It's an assault weapon. It's an assault weapon. It's an assault weapon. Ooh, nobody should have an assault weapon. Folks, any weapon can be used for assault. And the fact that a weapon is dressed up, has a frame that looks more military, does not by definition make it, quote unquote, an assault weapon. That's a meaningless term. But of course, Ralph Northam is going to take away assault weapons. Okay, we can't have that. You heard Joe Biden earlier with his nonsensical, incoherent answer to this young lady's question. You heard how stupid he sounded. Because, folks, you simply cannot come up with a rational basis for infringing on the Second Amendment rights of responsible, law-abiding citizens to properly arm themselves for self-defense against criminals, against tyranny, yes, against tyranny too, because that's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. The Declaration makes clear that an inherent right of the people, in addition to all the other rights, the inherent right of the people is the right to throw off a government that seeks to tyrannize it or to tyrannize them. So that inherent right to possess firearms for the purpose of defending ourselves, our families, our property, our lives, simply should not be toyed with. And what you've got is people telling you, oh, no. Listen to how stupid this sounds. I mean, look how irrational these people are. You know, you're safer if you don't have a gun in the home. What? So if somebody bum rushes your home, if somebody comes in, does a home invasion, so you mean to tell me you're in your bedroom, you hear them crash into your living room, and you got a weapon in the bedroom, you're better off. You'd be better off if you didn't have that. Folks, nobody, with a scintilla of common sense believes that. Nobody. So the only reason why you would say that is you've got something else in mind, right? I mean, you've got to have something else in mind. You're not going to sell anybody with common sense on the idea those church members in White Settlement, Texas, would have been so much better off if none of them had had any firearms in order to fight back against this crazed gunman. They would have been so much better off. Duh. Yeah, they would have been so much deader off. That's what it would have been. So what do they really have in mind? Folks, I'm convinced that what they really have in mind is control over people. They want the American people disarmed. They want guns only in the hands of the elites who can hire security guards. They want guns only in the hands of law enforcement. They want guns only in the hands of people that they think that they might be able to control for the purpose of controlling people ultimately. I think it's got to be what it's all about, because nothing else makes sense. So here we have Ralph Northam. Folks, please be praying, because on January 20th, I can't be at the legislature on January 20th, at least. No, I can't be there at all, because I've got the Martin Luther King breakfast in the morning and I'm flying out in the afternoon. So I cannot be there. But I believe tens of thousands are going to gather at the Capitol in Virginia to make clear their absolute unwillingness to go along with a law that they believe fundamentally violates their God-given rights secured by the Constitution. And so they should. So here's what my understanding is, that Ralph Vladimir Lenin Ralph Vladimir Lenin Northam has now decided that he will simply register your guns, the assault weapons that you have. In other words, no, you don't have to. You'll be grandfathered in if you already have an AR-15. You'll be grandfathered in if you already have a Glock 19. You'll be grandfathered in if you already have a gun that holds more than 10 rounds. And folks, look, the Desert Eagle is the largest, most powerful pistol I think made. And the bullets in that pistol are big enough to knock a tree down. You know? But if the magazine only holds 8 rounds, which I think is standard for a Desert Eagle, that's okay. Oh, yeah, that's okay. No problem with that. I mean, it doesn't make a bit of sense. And you know what I've been thinking? I'm sure gun owners around the country have been thinking this. Of course, many always do. I am a concealed carrier. I have a concealed carry permit. I've open carried from time to time, but you know, I don't do it normally, but I've open carried from time to time, depending if I'm going to an event where, you know, it's about the Second Amendment. Sometimes I will open carry. It's just an expression of my God-given fundamental rights. But I've said, well, look, God forbid, but if they actually manage to somehow make it impossible to have a magazine that carries a sufficient number of rounds, I'll just have to start carrying a couple extra magazines. Because, look, God forbid that you ever get into a situation. Those folks in White Settlement, Texas found out you can be perfectly innocent, perfectly law-abiding, minding your business, going about worshiping God, doing something really, really, really good, and in comes the devil with the intent of hurting people. Now, if he's got 50 rounds and you've got 6, who has the advantage? And do you think people are just going to go for that? No, they're not. I'm not. And so what will people do? They'll adapt. They'll carry more magazines. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Our Creator intended for us to enjoy living. Those who feel the Christian religion concerns itself only with life after death miss a major portion of the message of the Galilean. He was very much concerned about us in the here and now. Using the common sense God has given us, and some guidelines Christ gave to approach life, we can set down some rules that will help us enjoy life if we will follow them, even enjoy life a little more than perhaps we do now. The first rule is enjoy living a little more by laughing a little more. A good sense of humor has never hurt a single person, and it has made life blossom like a flower in the desert for multitudes. Concerning laughter, Sir Max Beerbohm once wrote, "Strange, when you come to think of it, that of all the countless folk who have lived before our time on this planet, not one is known in history or in legend as having died of laughter." Thomas Carlyle, the historian, believed in the medicine of laughter so much that he once said, "No man who has once heartily and wholly laughed can be altogether irreclaimably bad." If you wish to enjoy living a little more, then laugh a little more. Two men were fishing one Sunday morning when they heard the church bells ring, reminding the people in the town that it was time to come to church. One of the men, feeling guilty that he was fishing rather than being in church for worship, said to the other, "You know, I guess we should have gone to church this morning." The other man, without ever giving it a second thought, replied, "Well, I couldn't have gone anyway. My wife is sick this morning." There's a good reason. And then there was a man who was having several distressing events happening to him at one time. He was telling a friend about his troubles. The friend, wanting to be of help to the man, told him, said, "Cheer up, things could get worse." And the story goes that the man with all the problems took his friend's advice. He said he cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. Another rule to follow, which will be helpful, is this: enjoy your family a little more. Family life was intended by God to be an enjoyable experience, and it will be if we work at it, give it a little more of our time and effort. Children and grandchildren are to be enjoyed. So are parents and grandparents. Here's some practical advice from the pen of Ogden Nash. One would be in less danger from the wiles of the stranger if one's own kin and kith were more fun to be with. In the world in which we live, the family unit is likely to break apart, at least mentally, if not physically, if we don't make an overt effort to keep it together and fun to be a part of. Business and a few of the other things which often seem so pressing can wait occasionally. The family unit only stays intact so long. So enjoy the family. Make it enjoyable to be a part of the family unit. Take the time and make the effort to enjoy the family a little more.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And since the attack on a synagogue, folks, was with a knife, I guess we really need to start a knife control movement. Because, you know, knives can be very, very dangerous. After all, we carved our turkey during both Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays with a great big old sharp knife. And, woo, I don't know whether you ought to leave those knives in the hands of people. Maybe they ought to be taken away. Or maybe they should be registered. You go in to buy a butcher knife or carving knife, maybe you ought to have to apply first. Have a background check. I mean, see how absurd this all becomes? It's not the gun that's the problem. It's people with evil in their heart or people who are mentally ill and delusional in their minds who then become a danger to themselves and others. It has nothing to do with the instrument that they choose to use. A gun is a very efficient tool, but as we just saw at the synagogue, but so is a knife. There was one incident in China where one guy with a knife injured 50 people. So, you know, the left doesn't understand that the root of the problem is spiritual and mental and emotional, not the instrument. But here's something that all of us need to remember, and this is one of the fundamental differences between what we call conservatives and what we call liberals, because conservatism grows out of a biblical worldview, because conservatism means to conserve, and what we're conserving are absolute truth, tried and true traditions of thought, speech, and behavior. See, we're trying to preserve what is best and what's become the foundation of the most successful nation in the history of mankind. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we're trying to preserve the family. That's why we're honoring the lives of unborn children. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we support Israel, because we know that our values are Judeo-Christian values taken from the Old and the New Covenant. But see, all of that is based upon a foundational truth that the left has rejected, and it's this. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That human beings need redemption. Human beings need forgiveness. Human beings need deliverance. Human beings need divine intervention. But see, the left thinks human beings are great. If you just create the right system around them, they'll be perfect. So in other words, if you just take away all the guns, you wouldn't have mass murders. But you all remember, I think it was it in Paris, where a guy took a truck and killed about 50 people? Oh, you won't have mass murder if you don't have guns? And of course, we know that people who are criminals are not going to give up guns. People who are criminals are going to make sure, that, in fact, that they hoard more guns when they know that the people are disarmed, because it gives them greater opportunities to take advantage of folks. Did you all know that the London break-in rate, home invasion and break-in rate, is much higher in all of England, actually, is much higher for daytime break-ins, okay, while people are at home. Much higher for daytime break-ins and while people are at home. You know why? Because the population is disarmed. And the robbers know that they're not going to face resistance. They go in with a gun, there's not going to be anybody in there who can stop them. Do you know why robberies into homes in America while people are at home, tend to be very low? Because the robbers know that there's a very good chance that you break into a home, you'll find a person who is armed and capable of defending that home and defending themselves. And so it's far preferable to break into a home where there's no one at home, because that way you don't have to confront the possibility of being killed yourself by a homeowner who is armed and capable of using that firearm. But notice, in both countries, the robbers don't say, you know what, it's wrong to rob people, let's just not do it. They're going to do it, folks. And you can disarm law-abiding citizens all you want. All you're going to do is embolden criminals. You're certainly not going to deter them, and you're not going to deter crime. And yet that's the garbage that the left spews. If you can just change the system, get rid of the guns, and people will really behave themselves. You just change the system. You just make it a socialist system and fair and just, and everybody will just, oh, they'll just be so law-abiding and they'll be so nice. Get rid of poverty and people won't steal. Yeah, right, yeah, get rid of poverty. People won't steal. If you could just make the sexes equal, men will never abuse women or try to take advantage of them. And folks, it is based, the whole construct of leftist ideology is based on a lie. And the lie is, there is no God. Or There are no absolutes. All things are relative. Or, you know, the people are essentially good, and if you just give them a system that's good, they'll really be completely good. So, folks, the reality is that there are evil people in the world who want to do evil things. It has nothing to do with whether they're rich or poor, whether they're black or white, whether they have education or they don't have education, what part of the country they're from, how they grew up. Some people grow up in great families and end up becoming murderous thugs. Some people grow up under terrible circumstances and end up becoming law-abiding citizens, making a great contribution to life. The problem is the human heart. And that's what needs to be addressed. But oh no, we're busy taking down the Ten Commandments. Right? We're busy. Don't mention God. Keep God out of the picture. And what are we left with? Gun control. That'll get them. That'll change things. Oh, boy, you just let us get gun control and man, everything will just be great. Yes. And we'll all be slaves in the end. Because that's where that takes you. If you can just control people, you can just emasculate people. You can just take away people's individual right and responsibility to care for themselves. Everything's just going to be wonderful. Well, folks, you pray for us because, as far as I'm concerned, the state of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and James Madison and James Monroe is not going to be allowed to go the way of Ralph Vladimir Lenin Northam and his cohorts. Listen to what James Madison said in Federalist Paper number 46. The advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Thomas Jefferson, what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. Folks, our founding fathers didn't enshrine the Second Amendment into the Constitution because they wanted us to be able to hunt and fish and do target shooting. They did it because, like everything else in the Bill of Rights, they considered it a fundamental human right that must be protected. And so we're not going to allow Ralph Vladimir Lenin Northam or any other would-be Marxist, socialist, communist to try to take away the God-given rights that are inherent in our humanity. Back in a moment.
I was in Southern California speaking at a Christian school, and a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, oh, she says, I'm retiring next year. I'm 62, decided to retire, and she said, 30 years ago, I told God I wanted to be someone who went into the barrio in Los Angeles and teach.
Cynthia Tobias on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I decided, I'm 62 now. I'm too old. I never did it. She said, but you know what God said to me today? He told me I still need to do it. Heard from her just a few weeks ago. She's enrolled in Spanish class. She's got to 80. She's going to go make a difference, and she thought it was too late. See, she took a good long look at her strengths. And she took a good long look and spent time in prayer deciding what God really wanted for her, what she should be aiming for. And then she took a look around and thought, I'm still supposed to change the world.
More from Cynthia at FamilyMinute.org.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wessling, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. JJ helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on JJ's availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. If you're struggling to keep your head above water spiritually, stop treading water and start swimming towards someone who's drowning. They're everywhere. And guess what? When you rescue them, God will rescue you. That's how it works. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a wall against him. The scriptures are replete with admonitions to give and it will be given unto you. Use the gifts you have received to serve others. Carry each other's burdens and fulfill the law, knowing even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. But here's the key. A cup of cold water is just a cup of cold water if it isn't given in Jesus' name. Connecting goodness to God connects people to God and you to His resources. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And by the way, folks, the same is true in this attack on this Jewish synagogue in New York during a Hanukkah celebration. Five people stabbed. This man who did the stabbing, by the way, we're not getting any background on him. And I always get a little suspicious when we don't hear any background. Somebody say he's mentally ill. But I tell you what, he looks like he, and I'm not saying he is, folks, but he looks like he could be a Muslim. He could be a Muslim. But if he is, they're going to cloak, they, meaning the leftist media, will try to cloak it in some other terms. And here's the ironic thing about it. This is a black guy with a full beard and afro, and they're blaming President Trump. You know, the left is blaming President Trump. Wait a minute. Well, first of all, President Trump is a racist, right? But somehow, as a racist, he's able to get black guys like this to go and attack Jews because he's an anti-Semite too. This stuff is preposterous. Now, first of all, let's be clear about something. As far as I'm concerned, and I mean this with all my heart, the most virulent, nasty, vicious, anti-Semitic sentiment is coming out of the left. There's not an anti-Semitic bone in President Trump's body based on anything I've seen. I am an avid supporter of the nation of Israel and an avid supporter of protecting and defending the Jewish people, because I believe the Bible calls us to do that. That doesn't mean I agree with everything that Israel says or does, but nevertheless, I know that they are beset all around by enemies. But it's the left, folks, that calls Israel an apartheid nation. It's not conservatives. It's leftists. Well, we all know what that implies. I mean, that's an apartheid nation. We know what was happening in South Africa before apartheid ended and some of the horrible things that were being done there to try to maintain white supremacy there. And to call Israel an apartheid nation that's a profound insult. Saying they're a bunch of racists who are mistreating, imprisoning, and killing Palestinians willy-nilly just to keep power over them. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. That's not coming from President Trump. That's coming from these leftists and their cohorts. And the only reason why the Democrat Party mealy-mouths support for Israel is because the Jewish community gives so much money to Democrats. I look, folks, I am at a loss with the Jewish community, as I am with the black community, why they keep supporting people who hate them. That's right. I said it, hate them. I don't care. Forget the rhetoric. I'm talking about the policies, the things that they do. Bespeaks hatred for black folks, hatred for Jewish folks. And then they want to point the finger at President Trump? Are you kidding me? And as a supporter of Israel and the Jewish people, if I thought that the president was anti-Semitic, if I saw any evidence, and look, I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I'm not claiming exalted status as a genius. But I mean, I got a little bit of sense. I mean, I think pretty clearly, I think. And if I had some evidence that, oh yeah, this president really hates Jewish people, I'd call it out. I haven't seen any such evidence. It's this president. And by the way, let me just add this. To me, Barack Obama had absolutely no use for Israel and no use for Jews, and he could barely contain his contempt, but the left never called him on it. Never called him on it. And they make up a bunch of nonsense about this president. Well, he didn't sufficiently denounce the white supremacists in Charlottesville. Oh, please. He denounced them, and he said something that everybody should have been saying, which was, aside from the white supremacists and Antifa, there were people who went to that, ended up at that protest, who were good people on both sides of that issue. Yes, that's absolutely true. Everybody there wasn't a white supremacist. Everybody there wasn't Antifa. There were some people there defending what they considered to be an honorable principle, which is that if you start sanitizing our history, what's next? Well, these statues have to come down. What has to come down next? I mean, you even had some students cover the statue of Thomas Jefferson at the university that he founded and demanded that his statue be moved. He founded the thing. So, please, this president is not anti-Semitic. And they're running around talking about, and the only Jewish people saying that would be people of the far left who would say anything to try to vilify and discredit and smear and slander this president. He's neither a racist nor an anti-Semite. This president, I think, cares first and foremost about the United States of America and its people, regardless of their background. I couldn't say the same thing about Barack Obama, because he made clear he didn't have any use for the rich, although he didn't mind taking their money and still doesn't. But he made that quite clear. He even threw his own grandma under the bus. Well, you know, she had the typical attitude of white people. Yeah, Barack Obama. And folks, at some point next year, I've got to do a speech on January 20th at the 20th anniversary of our Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast here in Chesapeake, Virginia. We started this 20 years ago. It has grown to hundreds of people come to it now. And every 5 years, I give the keynote speech, and I'm going to be giving the keynote speech on January 20th. I don't know where you are in the country listening to me right now, but feel free to come. You know, right? Come on from California. I'd love to see you. But it's going to be in Chesapeake, Virginia at 10 a.m. And my message, my speech, is entitled America, From Divided Past to United Future. And I'm going to be talking about some of these concepts that the left has introduced into our culture. And look, to some extent, races have introduced it into our culture to benefit themselves. And I'm going to challenge that and a lot of the what I would say is the orthodox but very wrong and false thinking about our country and its racial history. Because, folks, the left will never admit it, but America has a lot to be proud of in our racial history. Not everything. I know that. I'm not going to sit here behind this mic and pretend, oh, no, we always got it right. No, we didn't always get it right. But I'll tell you what, we got it right a lot more of the time than the left will ever admit. And I'm going to explain the reasons for that. Now, I said all that to say this. So, for example, now, what does white mean? Because, you know, Obama used that with a certain disdain. Yeah, you know, like my grandmother, you know, was a typical white person. Well, what does that mean? I mean, think about that, folks. What does that mean? Because, look, my study of American history says to me that Germans, Irish, Italians, Polish, Russians, British, you know, you would describe them all as quote unquote white people, but they come from cultures and backgrounds that are as different as night and day. And very often as a result, particularly when large groups of immigrants came into the country from a particular place like Ireland or Italy, they clashed with other quote unquote white people. Because their cultures were different, their outlooks were different, their language was different, their dress was different, their food was different, their approach to life was different, their interests were different. And for reasons that I'm going to get into in my speech, along comes somebody says, well, you know, these people are white and these are other. And yet, folks, and this is the God's honest truth, and you know it's true. There are quote unquote black people who are lighter than some quote unquote white people. You know, I mean, that's just a fact. In past generations, we call them mulattoes. But all of that stuff for the future of our country, in my view, we need to be getting away from. But the left just wants to drag us into it and make us wallow in it and live in it and obsess about it and divide us over it and keep us at each other with it and never, never allow us to take one step without resistance toward one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. They want us to have some sort of socialist paradise, which means nothing less than they want us all to be slaves. That's what the left wants. They want us all to be slaves to them. See, the Bible says the truth shall make you free. Well, then, if the truth makes you free, then lies put you in bondage. And the left uses lies to put people in bondage, to keep people captive, to control them. In fact, I'm reading Thomas Sowell's book, Ethnic America, right now. And, you know, when he describes the way some of the nativist forces dealt with some of the immigrants. Folks, it sounds just like the way the left deals with black people. Keep them dependent. Keep them in fear. Keep them locked in ghettos. The only difference is most of the other groups managed to break out. And it's time for the black community to do the same. And I believe President Trump is just the right president to help make it happen. Well, folks, I've got to go. I'm sorry I couldn't get your calls. I miss them. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.